Whenever a woman gives birth to a baby, she's obligated to bring a set of korbanos. My wife had 9 babies, so when the Beis HaMikdash will be built, she'll be obligated to bring 9 sets of korbanos. If you have twins or triplets, you're only obligated to bring 1 set of korbanos. But if you had 9 pregnancies, then you have to bring 9 sets of korbanos. The Oledis is one of the Abba Mechusri Kapora. That's the name of the second perek in Maseches Krisis. Abba Mechusri Kapora. Mechusri Kapora means if a person is Tomeh, he goes to Mikveh, he becomes Tohar. Tovah V'Olah, when he comes out of the Mikveh, he's permitted to eat Maisosheni. One is not permitted to eat Maisosheni in the state of Tumeh. And Erev Pesach of the Shemitah year is coming, Erev Pesach, and Erev Pesach of the fourth year. The farmer is supposed to recite Vidui Meiser, Biyarti HaKodesh Ben Abayis V'gam Nesatav L'Alevi, if he did everything properly. If he didn't do it properly, he can't fulfill the mitzvah. But if he did it properly, then he recites the Vidui Meiser, because the Shemitah cycle, the 7 years, is divided into 2 units, 3 years and 3 years. The first 3 years, Mafrish. The first 2 years, Mafrish Truma Gedolah, Maisa Risha, Maisa Sheni. The third year, Mafrish Maisa Roni. Then we give you a half a year from the end of the third year till Erev Pesach of the fourth year, a little over half a year, a little over 6 months. We give you a little over half a year to give away the Truma and the Maisa Risha and to eat the Maisa Sheni, or to give it away, to take care of all the Maisa Sheni. And then you have the next 3 years, the fourth year, the fifth year, a repeat of the first year and the second year, 6 years, a repeat of the third year, and then you have until Erev Pesach of the Shemitah year to give away all the Trumas and Maisus and so on. And then you recite the Vidui Maisa. So when you say the Vidui Maisa, you say, I did not consume the Maisa Sheni in the state of Tumah. You're not permitted to eat Maisus Sheni in the state of Tumah. So the Mishnah says in Taurus that Tovah V'Olah, if a person was Tomei, went to the Mikveh, Oichol B'Maisa, he's allowed to eat Maisus Sheni. Maisus Rishon, the Levim can eat even in the state of Tumah. When it says that Lo B'Yatam Memena B'Tomei, that goes on Maisus Sheni, it doesn't go on Maisus Rishon. It says that Pasuk says regarding the end of Parshas Korach, it says regarding Maisus Rishon, you can eat the Maisa Rishon anywhere you want. So the Chazal have a comment, Afila Beveis HaKvaris. The Levi is permitted to eat the Maisa Rishon even in the cemetery. Even though the Maisa Rishon is Tomei and the Levi is Tomei, that's not a problem. Truma, you're not allowed to eat in the state of Tumah, whether the Truma is Tomei or the person is Tomei. And the Maisa Sheni also, this thing has to be eaten with Tahara, but Maisa Rishon does not have to be eaten with Tahara. So the din is that when a person is tovel in the mikveh, he's tohar with respect to eating maisa sheni, but he's not permitted to eat trum until he has harav shemesh. The harav shemesh has to follow after the tefillah in the mikveh. Some thought if you waited a week, if you waited a month or a year, you didn't go to mikveh yet, you can be yotze the harav shemesh before the tefillah in the mikveh. It's against often in mishnayos. You can't. Harav shemesh has to take place after the tefillah in the mikveh. So one who wants to eat truma, kohen wants to eat truma, has to have harav shemesh after his tovel and the mikveh. That's the first mishnah in brachas. Meimus akohen sashma baravin. When do you start learning kriyas shma m'shashu akadim echnosim lechol b'chumosim after harav shemesh? Harav shemesh means seisal kachovim. And then there are bo mechusik kapor. There are 4 people who are tamei, even though they went to the mikveh, and even though they had harav shemesh, kolzman they didn't bring the korban. So they still have, they still retain a lower level of tumah, and they're not permitted. They're permitted to eat truma. All you need to eat truma is harav shemesh, but they're not permitted to eat korbanos, and not permitted to enter the Beis HaMikdash. That's called the mechusik kippurim. The tameh who already had tefillah in the mikveh and had harav shemesh, but he didn't bring the korbanos. Who are the abba mechusik kapara? So that Zab Zavi or Lettuce and Mitzvah, these 4, Kalsman, they didn't bring the Karbonis, they're still considered Tamei with respect to Knisol HaMikdosh and with respect to Achilas Kochim. Yeah, the Torah says when, so let's say my wife, when the Beis HaMikdosh will be built, my wife will have I'm the one that made her pregnant, so I'll have the obligation to pay for it. I have to pay for the korbanos, and they have to be offered on behalf of my wife. So let's say a person attended 100 funerals in his lifetime. So then he has to be toivel in the mikveh. He needs hazor shlishi shvi. So he has to be toivel in the mikveh 100 times, so he touches 100 dead shrutzim. Or he picks up a nevela. If he pick up a piece of meat in the AMP, that's nevela. So even though the meat in the AMP is wrapped, but the nevela is metame b'mago b'masa. If it's wrapped, so there's no maga, but there's masa, you pick it up, that's tumas masa, even though it's covered, even though it's wrapped. So you become tummy. So let's say I picked up 100 times, I picked up nevela, I became tummy 100 times. You have to be tovel in the mikvah 100 times. The Gemara says, no, tovel in the mikvah once, so all the tumma goes away. So let's say when the Beis HaMikdash will be built, my wife will be obligated to bring 9 sets of korbanos. She gave birth to, she had 9 pregnancies. But as soon as she brings the first set of korbanos, she's already, that's like going to mikvah once after becoming tummy 100 times. So she'll be tahora, she's allowed to eat korbanos already. She's allowed to enter the Beis HaMikdash after bringing the first set of korbanos. V'ashara le'achayva. The other 8 set of korbanos, she's obligated to bring us a mitzvah, but it's no longer ma'akev her. She's no longer called the mechusi kippur. How long do you have to wait before you can bring the korbanos? So it depends whether you had a baby boy, baby girl. If you had a baby boy, then the malo says arboim yom, 7 days and 33 days. 7 you made tum and 33 days you made tohar. And if she has a baby girl, the malo says 80 days. It's 14 days he made tuma and 66 days he made tohar. The whole thing together is called the malos. What ube malos he made tohar? What is malos? Malos is a technical term that means a unit of time that's superimposed on the calendar. You don't say that Shabbos is malos, Yontav is malos. That's a calendaric day. It's not a malos. A woman has a baby, can have a baby today, tomorrow, the next day, any day. A person is makabel naziris. A person is observing Shiva. You can be people dying every day. So Shiva begins Shloshim. That's a malos. That's a unit of time that's superimposed on the calendar. We have a din. We have a din deraisa that you say mitzvah hayom kekuloi. We're only used to thinking of the din with respect to avelus. The morning of the seventh day of Shiva, the avelim observe avelus a little bit, and then they can call it quits. Mitzvah hayom kekuloi. And the last day of Shloshim also, they observe Shloshim a little bit, and you say mitzvah hayom kekuloi. The last day of Yud Beis Chodesh, you don't say Mitzvah Sayyam Kekuloi. So that din of Mitzvah Sayyam Kekuloi, we're used to thinking of it in terms of Avelus. We never think of it in any other area. It's a big mistake. It's not so. Ramam Ifanu lived in Italy. Ifanu, he was a contemporary of Rabbi Yosef Kar. Rabbi Yosef Kar lived in Tzfat. And he sent his svarim, the Beis Yosef, with the Shulchan Aruch, he sent it to Ramam Ifanu, that he should print it for him in Italy. So Ramam Ifanu has a tshuva where he raises the question, how come we don't say Mixam Kukuloi on Shabbos? Go to the early minyan, the Hashkava minyan, and you make Kiddush, and you call it quits. Right? That's it for the whole day Shabbos. So Yom Tov, the last day of Pesach, say Mixam Kukuloi. Just like you say, Kayavelus. Let's say Shmur Echoika in the Hegas Aliyoy Mechot. Shmur Echoika means if one heard about the death of a relative, after 30 days went by from the death, from the time of death. So Shmur Echoika, one only observes Avelus for one day. And that one day, you chisel it down, you say Mixes Hayam Kukuloi. So why don't you say Mixes Hayam Kukuloi every Shabbos? Every Yom Tov, say Mixes Hayam Kukuloi. Or maybe say on Tisha B'Av, that's way there, the Oitzer Agoinim. Amasechus Tainus quotes that question that Tisha B'Av is a din like Shiva, and in Shiva, the last day of Shiva, he said, Miksam Kukuloi. So, why don't we say in Tisha B'Av, you fast a little bit in the morning, you observe the dinim of the Tainus, and then you call it quits, Miksas Ayam Kukuloi. So, you don't say that. So, that's a question, why not? So, why don't you say Miksam Kukuloi on Shabbos and Yom Tov? So the Ramam Ifanu writes, has a collection of tshuvas, not so important. So the Ramam Ifanu gives an answer that's very difficult. He says, in Yoni Tumah, in Yoni Avelus, we want to get rid of it quickly. So when a person is tummy, let's say a zava, the morning of the seventh day, they can make a bedika, and then they can go to mikveh and yisay mikveh em kukula, because we don't want to sit around in a state of tumah. We don't want to hang around in a state of avelus. We want to shake that off as soon as possible. But in Yoni Kiddusha, we say mesifim echayla l'kodesh. You want to add more. Simcha, Yontav is a day of simcha, and Shabbos is a day of Kiddusha. That we want to have mosifim echayla l'kodesh. There you don't say mixam kukul. That's what the Rama Mifanu suggests. Rabbi Yosef Engel thinks that it's not correct. Because the Mishnayos and Nazir talk about mixam kukula by a Nazir. A person was mekabel naziris for 30 days. On the 30th day, he can come to the Beis HaMikdash and take his haircut and bring the korbanos and call it quits, even though he's not allowed to take a haircut. Not allowed to take a haircut for the duration of the time that he's a Nazir. And it says regarding Nazir, Kodesh Yeh, Gadel Paras HaRosh, it's an inyan of Kedusha, so you should have said, Masifim Mechayel Al HaKodesh. If it's an inyan of Kedusha, you don't want to chisel it off. And nonetheless, the Mishnah say that the same Mikseim Kekulay. So that the answer that the Rama Mifanu gave doesn't seem to be correct. Does not seem to be correct, yeah. But what is the answer? So the Pashto says, Mikseim Kukul only applies when it's a malos that's superimposed on the calendar, like Avelus, like Naziris. Person can make a Kabbalah Ned and Naziris whenever he or she wants. They can make a Kabbalah Naziris today, tomorrow, the day after. So that's superimposed on the calendar. But Tisha B'Av is a day on the calendar, Shabbos Yom Tov. That's a calendaric day. The whole day of Shabbos, the whole day is Yom Tov. You can't say Mikseim Kukula. Only applies to a malos. How do you translate the words in the pasuk? Shloshim yom teishev bidmei tohara. How do you translate that? So the Rambam lived in Egypt with the Karaites, with the Jewish Karaites. He was fighting a lot, the Karaites. Every so often in the Rambam, in the Mishnah Torah, there's a line that it's a polemic, an attack against the Karaim. So he writes that the Karaites interpreted, usually when a woman didn't have a baby, so there's a din, not every fluid that comes out from that part of the body is considered dam, only has to have a maradam, has to be reddish or blackened, or black. If it's very black, then shocher adam hu elu shaloka. Black is also considered a maratomi. But if you have dam hayorik means brown or yellow, so that's not dam. Dam hayorik. Dam hayorik doesn't mean green. There was once a professor was giving a lecture in yeshiva many years ago. He was explaining how can it be that there's such a thing as dam hayorik. One of the students told it to Rabbi Soloveitchik. He thought that it was ridiculous. The word yorek doesn't mean green. And maybe a modern Hebrew means green. In the Gemara, if you want to say green, you say yorek kakarsi. But if you just say yorek means brown or yellow, or blue. Brown, yellow, blue. All three are called yorek. So brown and yellow, that's normal. That part of the body is always, there's always some moisture there. So dama yorek is a machlek, is hakavib, dama halala, and a chacham, where it's metame, we pass, and it's not metame. So the Karaites interpreted the wrong pshat in the pasuk. Teishev b'dmei tohara in the 33 days by a baby boy, or in the 66 days in a tohar by a baby girl, even if she has dam hayorik, it's also she's asur labayla. Teishev means she's tmeya. The rest of her life, if she has dam hayorik, it's not a riyaz dam because it doesn't have a maradam. Maradam is either Odom or Shachar. But during the 33 days of the 66 days, so then the din is, that's how the Karaites interpret. Teishev b'dmei tohara, even if it's a Mara Tohar, she's still Tmeya. And the Halacha says just the opposite from what the Karaites said. The Halacha says, even if she has Dam with a Mara Tomei, that's a din, that's Dam Tohar. She's Muteris Labaila. The woman is Muteris Labaila. There was a big machlokes in the days of the Rishonim. The Gemara quotes a minhag. Benoyis Yisrael, Amar Abzera, Benoyis Yisrael Echmira, Alatzman, Shafila Roya, Stipa Slam Kechar, Liyoshu Solov Shiv and Ekim. So there was a big machlaikis, whether that means that we no longer use the kulav of Dam Tohar. If the Yoledis has Dam with Amara Odoim during the 33 days or the 66 days. So min haTorah it's tahor. Min haTorah it's tahor. Do we say that mita minig it's aser? In the days of the Gemara, the minig was not all over. The Gemara says hechad the nog nog, hechad the lo nog. This minig, but I say achmir al atzma. It was a minig. It's already been a minig for so long. So some Rishonim think that now it's a real din. We don't pass on like that. We pass on Yeridah. It's still only a minhag, and there are certain kulas and chumras because of the fact that Reb Zera's din is only a minhag. It's not really a din. So our practice is that we don't allow a woman to be with her husband if she has dam tohar. We assume that the minhag, when I say lachmir al atzman, shafil erayis tipas dam kachardel, she's Tamea, that applies even to you make Tohar by your ledes. So the Rambam complains about a minig that he saw in Egypt, that the woman has a baby, and instead of going to mikveh after the 7 days, or after the 14 days, well, depending whether it's a boy or girl, they would wait to go to mikveh after the 40 days or after the 80 days. What in the world is that based on? So he said that's based on apikursant. That's based on the karaitic interpretation of the pasuk. They shave b'dmei tohara, even if it's a mara tohar, even if it's dam hayorik, even if it's brown or yellow, which is not metame, but by oledas it is metame. So that's why they waited till after the whole malos was up. They waited till after the 80 days or the 40 days were up, and they wouldn't go to mikveh until that. So the Rambam says you're not allowed to observe that minig. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote that was the minig of the Bali HaTesis, but for a totally different reason. Why? So they quote the following. There is a machlekes hatanoim beishamayim besilu. There are many machlekes in beishamayim besilu. So one of the machlekes is regarding the 7 days and the 33 days. Adds up to 40 days, the malos by a baby boy, or the 14 days he made tumah, and the 66 days in Metohar by baby girl. So how do you determine the cutoff point? After the 7 days are up by a baby boy, so that's it, so you may Metohar begin right away? Or do you say, no, you may the woman is still Tameah until she goes to the mikveh, but do you say they may Tuma are up and you may Metohar begin? She'll still be Tameah because she didn't go to mikveh. Or do you say the May Tohar don't begin until after 7 days and going to the mikveh? So that's Besila holds. Biyomi Utvile Talya Rahmana. The Malosa 40 days can be 7 and 33, it can be 10 and 30, it can be 20 and 20, it can be 30 and 10, it can be 38 and 2. It depends. Biyomi Utvile Tal Rahmana. She can't go to mikveh before the 7 days are up. And then, Kolzman, she doesn't go to the mikveh, Yemei Tumah are not over. She's still in the middle of Yemei Tumah. So that'll take away from Yemei Tohar. So instead of being 7 and 33, it'll be 8 and 32, it'll be 10 and 30, it'll be 20 and 20. That's how we pass them, like Bezillel against Besham B'Biyom, Yitvil, Itay Rachmana. The woman has to go to mikveh in order to end Yemei Tumah. In order to begin, you may tohar. It doesn't happen automatically. And Bishamai disagree. They say, the yomi talya rachmana. The malos of yomei tumah is up automatically. If the woman doesn't go to mikveh, she'll still be tumeya. But you don't say that it's still yomei tumasa. Yeah, what's an afkamina lahaloche bizman hazeh? So there are mishnayis and maseches nida about a woman gave birth to a baby, so sometimes the woman is considered yoledes bizov. Your letters has a tumah, and if the woman has a riyaz dam 3 days in a row in the middle of yud alef yom shebei nida lem nida, she becomes a zava. If a woman has a riyaz nida be'es nidasa, when it's expected, when it's reasonably expected, then she becomes a nida. When it's not to be reasonably expected, in the first 11 days after the 7 days of yimei tumah may nida, so yud alef yom shebei nida lem nida, that's halacha moshim sin, that's not normal. To have dam in the 11 days, the first 11 days immediately following the 7 days of nida. That's not normal. So then she has a tumah zava and she needs shiva nikim. So there is a machlekes abai verove in the Gemara. What's the din of yimei ledosa? What if a woman was yoledes bezov? She became a Zava before she had a baby, and then she has a baby, so she has to wait 40 days, 80 days, okay? And and she has to count Shemitikim. So let's say when the woman gives birth to the baby, there's a bucket full of dam that comes out from the body in the hospital. So you have to wait quite a while till all the dam stops. When all the dam stops, so let's say, usually will not happen, let's say, if the woman has a baby boy, it's probably not going to stop within the 7 days. That's very rare. If it's a baby girl, 14 days is what the possibility. Also, not common. It takes a long time till the dam stops. An awful lot of dam is coming out from the woman's body. So let's say the woman has to count 14 days in Yemei Tumah, and the last 2 days of the Yemei Tumah, there's no dam. So can that count as the first 2 days of Shiva Nikim? Because she was a Zava before she gave birth to the baby. So because she was a Zava, she needs Shiva Nikim. So that's a machlokes Abai v'Rava. Yemei Leidosa Shein Eroi Bahem. Yemei Leidosa, the first 7 days by baby boy, the first 14 days by baby girl. So those days are Tmeim anyway. So that's machlokes Abai v'Rava. How do we paskin? So Ruba de Ruba, we paskin like Rava against Abai, except for Yalkigam. So there's a machlokes Rashi and Taisus. What is the lamed of Yalkigam? 5 out of 6 of the Yalkigam we know. And the 6th one, the Lamed, is a machlekes. The Rashi says it has to do with something in Erevin. You may, Alechi Ho'imid Me'elov, the first parak in Erevin. Now we pass on like Abai. And the Rabbein and Talmud Tosfos disagree. He says, no, in Lechi Ho'imid Me'elov, we pass on like Rava. And the Lamed stands for Yemei Leidosa Sheneroi Bahem, that we pass on like Abaye B'Yalkigam. So the Rabbein and Talmud Shita was accepted B'chol Orei Tzorfas. That's what the Masechus Krisis, you have Tosfos Yishonim, you have Tosfos in tiny letters on the bottom of the page, printed on the bottom of the page. So they write there in Krisis that this was the meaning. B'chol Orei Tzorfas, they all follow today. That's not the practice. The Shulchan Aruch does not paskan like this, but this was the practice in the days of the Balei HaTosfos. That number one, they were machmer like Rabbi Netanya, paskans like Abaye, that Yemei Leidosa Shein Eroi Bahem are not oilim. Number two, we pass on like Beisilo, that Biyom Itvili Talya Rachman, that Yemei Leidosa, the 7 days is not etched in stone, is not always 7 days. If she doesn't go to Mikvah till 10 days, so it's going to be 10 and 30, it can be 20 and 20, it can be 30 and 10. 30 days Yemei Tumah, and only 10 days Yemei Tohar. And she can't begin, and we pass on like Abai, Bial Kagam. She can't begin to count the Shiva Nikiyim until after Yemei Tumah are up. So every woman who gave birth to the baby had to have Shtei Tvilus. She had to have Shtei Tvilus. She had to be Tovel in the Mikveh after the 7 days, after the 14 days were up, whether it's a baby boy, baby girl. And that terminated after the 7 days are up, and she went to the Mikveh, B'yom Yitvili Tal Rahmana, that terminated Yemei Tumah. So, and then she can actually begin to count the Shiva Nikiyim, and then go to the mikvah, the tefillah shniyah. This was quite a hardship, because in the days of the Balei HaTosfos, they didn't have mikvahs like we have, that are heated and warm water, and it's nice with tiles and everything. They had to break the ice and be tovel in the mikvah. The woman just had a baby a week ago. She can get pneumonia, she can die. So they were trying to chisel down the tefillahs. It was not safe. Until recently, women were tovel in the mikvah, it was ice cold. It wasn't inside a building. It was ice cold outside. They had to break the ice and be tovel in the mikveh. So in order to spare themselves the need to be tovel twice, dangerously, in a mikveh, for Yoledes, who just had a baby, so they would say like this, the 40 days or the 80 days of the Malos is not always going to be 7 and 33, sometimes it's going to be 10 and 30, sometimes 20 and 20, but it's never more than 40 days. If she has a baby girl, never more than 80 days, that's it. So if you want to start counting Shiva Nikim in the middle of the Malos, middle of the 40 days, 80 days, then we pass like Beis Hillel. Yemei Leidosa, Yemei Tumasa don't end with the end of the 7 days or the 14 days. You have to have Yom Utvila, you have to go to the mikveh. But if you wait till the end of the 40 days and then you count Shiva Nikiyim, so then you spare yourself one going to the mikveh. You don't have to go twice to the mikveh. After the 40 days are up, or after the 80 days are up, for sure your mei tumasa are over. Mei tumasa can't exceed the malos of the malos of 40 days or 80 days is a minimum of 7 days and then possibly 30. Then it can be 10 and it can be 7 and 33, or it can be 10 and 30, or 20 and 20, so on. But it can't exceed, the mei tumasa can't exceed 40 days. So the practice used to be they would wait. Instead of requiring shtei tvilus, that's what the Tosfos Yeshanim writes there, increases, many b'chol arei tzarfas like the Rabbeinu Tam, that the lamed of Yalkigam is Yimei Leidosa, we pass on like Abayi, that Yimei Leidosa, Sheni Rai Behem, are not oilem l'sfira zivosa. And she has to go to the mikveh in order to terminate after the 7 days are up or the 14 days are up. She has to go to mikveh to end the Yimei Tumasa, and then she has the ability to begin counting the Shemikim. She has to go mikveh a second time. And to save herself one going to the mikveh, if she waits till after the 40 days or the 80 days are up, then for sure you make tumasa over. That's it. It can't exceed 40 days. So then she only has to wait Shiva Nikim, and then she'll go to the mikveh. So that's a practice that they had. That was a name. That was in the days of the Rabbeinu Tam. The Chol Arei Tzarfas, they followed this chumrah of the Rabbeinu Tam, that the laman of Yalkagam is imelei dosa. Yeah, today we don't paskin like that. Today in Shulchan Aruch we paskin like Rashi, that the din is like Rove, Yimei Dosa, and the Lamed goes in Lechi Yom Me'ela, but a totally different din. We're not machma like Abai, that Yimei Dosa and not Oilim Nesfir Zibosa. See, you don't need this whole story. But since in the days of the Bali Atosis there was such a practice that they would wait till after the 40 days or the 80 days were up and then count Shivanikim, so somehow there was a carryover in later generations. So the women would wait till the end of the 40 days and then go to mikveh. That's neither here nor there. What did they accomplish by waiting till the end of the 40 days? If you hold like Abayi, that you may lay dosa shenarei behem on not oilim l'sfira zivasa, so, and you hold like Beishama, you hold like Beishilo, that biyom etvili tal rachmona, you have to be tovel in the mikveh sometime in the middle of the 40 days or the 80 days, to end the yimei tumasa. So you don't accomplish anything by just waiting to go to mikveh till after the 40 days are up. You have to count Shiva Nikim after that. So somehow that part of the minig disappeared. And in Shulchan Aruch they have a minig that you just wait to go to mikveh till the end of the 40 days, till the end of the 80 days. It doesn't make any sense. So the Ramo says, the Shach quotes the Ramo in the Darkei Moshe on the Torah. This is a carryover from the practice in the days of the Bali Atel, but we don't paskin like that today. We paskan like Rava. The Melei Dosa Sheina Roy Bam are Oilim L'Sfira Zivosa. So in Shulchan Aruch it says, if it's clear and obvious that this is the Minig HaMokim, you should do that. If it's not clear and obvious, then it could be that it's a Minig that was started by the Karoim, because they had a false pshat, a false interpretation in the pasuk. Teshev it Mei Tohara, Teshev al Mei Tohara means even if it's Dam Tohar, even if it's a Mara Tohar, she still has Asur L'Bailo. So the Rambam is screaming that you shouldn't observe that minig. So those mekaymes, but this is the minigs, we assume that the mocker is based on the Rabbeinu Tam, because in B'chol Oreh Tzarfas they used to follow the Rabbeinu Tam sheet on this. That is correct. I remember when I got married, so the last day of Shiva Simei Amishta, I came to the yeshiva, because there was a funeral. Rabbi Palev passed away. He was a very beloved Rebbe. I was never a student in his shiur, but he was like a grandfather to everybody. He was an older person. He was like a grandfather to everybody. He learned by Rabbi Zalman in Europe. He was a very beloved person. So I went to the yeshiva, to the Hespedim. And then I stayed to hear Rabbi Soloveitchik Shir. Then we daven mincha afterwards. So the shaila was whether I should say miktsas hayom kekuloi on the seventh day of the Shivas Yimei Amishta. So my Shivas Yimei Amishta is over, so we should say tachnun by mincha, or maybe you don't say miktsas hayom kekuloi by a chosin. So maybe they should not say tachnun. So I remember they asked Rabbi Soloveitchik. I didn't remember what he answered. So Rabbi Genak tells me, he remembers better. He said that Rabbi Soloveitchik said, yeah, I have no right to say Miksa and Kukula to cheat my wife. because during the Shiva's Mamishta, the husband is mechuyev to be mesamech as ishtoi. So I can't unilaterally declare that if a person is an abelis and he says miksam kukuloi, it's not negate to anybody else. That person, if a person is a nazir, person is a zaver, a zava. So they say miksam kukula. But by chosin and a kala, the chiyuv on the chosin is to misamech the kala. So he has no right unilaterally to say miksam kukula. That's what Rav Soloveitchik said. So he said that I'm still a chosin until the end of the day. We should leave out the tachnun by the mincha. But the svara that the Ramam Hifanu suggested is not accepted. He said, by Inyani Simcha, by Inyani Kedusha, you don't apply Miksam Kekula, only by Inyani Tume, by Inyani Avelis, we don't assume like that, because if you ask the old time, you see, by Nazir, it says Kaddish Yiyah, the Nazir has a Kedusha's Nazir, and still in Mishnah, you say that you apply Miksam Kekula by Naziris. Anytime there's a Malos, you apply Miksas Ayam Kekula. Here the Mishnah, there's a name of a perik in Maseches Nidus, perik Yotzei Doifen. Yotzei Doifen means a cesarean section. So there's a Machlekes Hatanaim. If a woman gives birth to a baby boy, baby girl by cesarean, does she have Yimeituma Vimeitar? Is she obligated to bring a set of karbonos or not? So we paskin not. We paskin Ishi Kisas Ria V'yoldo Zachar, if everything is done normally. But if it's not V'yoldo, if it's that they had to cut her open and take out the vlad, that's called a Yotzei Doifen. So then we paskin, there's no dinim of Yimeituma Vitara, and there's no chiv to bring the korbanos. So based on that, there's a machlokes hamaraim in Masechet Shabbos, whether if a baby boy is delivered through cesarean section, is the bris milah doicha Shabbos. What's the shaila? The din is, why is the Gemara raising the question? Why is this din repeated? That says in Lech Lecha, all the dinim of bris milah were given to Avraham Avinu and Parshas Lech Lecha. So why is it repeated over here? So the Gemara has one opinion that this pasuk is written to tell me that milah bisman is Decha Shabbos. Or the Tanoim derive it based on different sources. But that's one of the suggestions, is that this is the Mokka. The Pasuk is repeated here to teach me that it's absolutely essential, even though the Bris Milah constitutes a Malacha, but the Milah Bizman is Decha Shabbos. Decha Shabbos, Decha Yontif, Decha Yom Kippur. So the Gemara has a Machlokes Amoraim. What's the din if the baby was delivered through a cesarean section? So the first part of the parasha does not apply, that she doesn't have the Yimei Tumah, the Yimei Tahara, and she doesn't have the Chiyuv to bring a korban. So maybe Pasuk Gimel also doesn't apply. Maybe there's no din if it's a cesarean delivery. Maybe there's no din of a Mila Bishmini. So then you could have done the bris any time before the eighth day. So you don't have to wait till the eighth day. So that's a Machlokes Amoraim in the Gemara, and the Gemara has the Kloli HaPsak, whenever those two Amoraim disagree, so we don't have a Hachra, and we treat it like a Sveka Dedinim. So if there's a cesarean delivery by a boy, so we say you shouldn't do the bris within the first 8 days, you should wait till Shmini, because maybe there is a din of Yom HaShmini. But on the other hand, maybe there's no din, so if the eighth day happens to be Shabbos, then the din is that it's not Decha Shabbos. You're not permitted to be Decha Shabbos. It's a sveka redina, so you're not decha. Unless it's, let's say, when is Pesach? The first day Pesach is going to be Shabbos, and the second day Yantav is going to be Sunday. So let's say there's a cesarean delivery the Sunday before Pesach, a week before Pesach, and the eighth day turns out to be the second day, Yantav Sheni Shel Golias. The Yantav Sheni Shel Golias is a machlokes, the Rambam and the Rosh, whether Milu Shalor Bizmana is Decha Yantav. Mishnah only says second day Rosh Hashanah. The Mishnayos were worked on by Tanaim, who Ruba de Ruba, the Tanaim lived in Eretz Yisrael. Very few lived in Chutz Lords. Some of them lived in Rome, some of them lived in Bavel, different Tanaim. But the Mishnayos were worked on by Rabbi Yudah Nasi. He lived in Eretz Yisrael, so he didn't have any Yantav Sheni Shel Golias. Only had Yantav Sheni Shel Rosh Hashanah. So Yantav Sheni Shel Rosh Hashanah is what we call Kedusha Achas, Yom Arichto. it's a little bit more chomer than every other yantav sheni shel goyim. So that's explicit in the Mishnah that a milu shelo bizmano is not mutter, is not permitted on yantav sheni shel Rosh Hashanah. What about yantav sheni shel goyim? So that's machlekes the Rosh and the Rambam. So the Rosh, the common practice is like the Rosh. The Rosh thinks that yantav sheni shel goyim, even on Pesach Shavuot Sukkah, it's not only on Rosh Hashanah, you're not permitted to perform a milu shelo bizmano. And the Rambam thinks not so. The Rambam thinks, no, the Mishnah only said Yom Tov Sheni Shel Rosh Hashanah, that's Yom HaRichta, has the same Kedusha as the first day, but any other Yom Tov Sheni would be Mekel. So usually we don't perform a Milu Shelo Bizmano, but if it was a Caesarean delivery the week before on Sunday, and then on the second day, Yom Tov Pesach, it's Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goliath. So then the Nodi Behuda has a tshuva where he says, quoted by the Pesachei Tshuva in Hilchos Milah and Yerideya, where the Nodi Behuda writes in the tshuva that it's a svek sveka. Maybe it's a milu bizmana. Maybe the din is that even a yotzei dofen is also nima l'shmaina. And even if one should assume that it's a milu shalei bizmana, maybe the din is like the Rambam, that milu shalei bizmana is mutar on the yontav sheni shel goliath. So that's the accepted psak. Some moyel told me that Rav Moshe Paskin not so. I don't think he knew what he was talking about. If you look at Rav Moshe's tshuvas, he heard it from Rav Moshe. He didn't see it in the tshuvas. He heard wrong. He didn't understand what Rav Moshe said. Rav Moshe in the tshuvas says the same as the Nodi Yehuda, that he considers this a svek sveka. I remember there was a case, I think, many years ago, 40 years ago maybe more, a couple had twins. So one baby was 5-10 minutes apart. So the first baby was born, I think, Ben Ashmoshes in between. Let's say Pesach was Shabbos and Sunday, like this year, let's say. And so one baby was born a week before, two boys, twin boys. One boy was born Ben Ashmashes in between Shabbos and Sunday the week before, and the other baby was born 5 minutes later after Tzeis HaKachavim on Matzoi Shabbos, that was Yom HaRishon, that was Sunday. So the baby who was born a week before on Yom HaRishon on Sunday, so the bris is going to be Doichad, that's a Milu Bizmana. So that baby will have a bris on Yom Tov Sheni. Baby was born Ben Ashmash is going in between the first day and the second day. So the Mishnah talks about such a case, a baby is born Ben Ashmash is a week before Rosh Hashanah. So the second day Rosh Hashanah, it's clear in the Mishnah, you're not permitted to perform a milu shelo bizmana. So then you have to, so it's a sveikid, Ben Ashmash is a sofik yom, sofik laima. So you can't perform the bris on the first baby who was born Ben Ashmash, can't perform the bris on Shabbos, because it's a sofik milu shelo bizmana. He can't perform the bris on the second day Rosh Hashanah, because the second day Rosh Hashanah also milu shelo bizmana is not deches. So it's only if it's a badai milu bizmana. So the people felt bad. The couple felt bad. They have to have two parties. They have to have one bris is going to be on the second day yontif, and the baby who was born first during Ben Hashmash is going to have a bris on Chol HaMoed. So the rabbi asked me, is there any way to be makel over here? So I told him, the Nodi Behuda. That Rabbi Yehuda says that whenever a baby is born, Ben Ashmashes, so it's a Safik Yom Safik Laila, so to do the bris on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goliath is a Safik. Maybe it is Milu Bizmana. And then there's another Safik, even if it's Milu Shelo Bizmana, but it's not 2 days Rosh Hashanah, it's Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goliath. So maybe the din is like the Rambam, that the Milu Shelo Bizmana is Mutar on Yom Tov Sheni Shel Goliath. So that says in Yeridah, in the bottom of the page. It's not my discovery. They quote the Nodi Behuda that constitutes a svek sveka. If the baby is born Ben Ashmashes a week before Pesach, in between Shabbos and Matzoi Shabbos, so you do the both bris, and the second baby is born after Tzeis HaKachavim and Matzoi Shabbos, so the second baby for sure has the bris on Yom Tov Sheni. The first baby also, you do the bris on Yom Tov Sheni, mitam svek sveka. Maybe it's a milu bizmana, maybe Ben Ashmashes is kelaila. So it's a milu bizmana also even on the first baby, and even if not, maybe the din is like the Rambam, that you're permitted to perform a milu shelo bizmana and every other Yom Tov Sheni other than Yom Tov Sheni Shel Rosh Hashanah. Yeah, these are dinim and shulchan aruch. Comes up every week. People, babies are being born who were never born before. Absolutely. Every day of the week, every day of the week, the baby's being born. You got to know the dinim when you perform the bris milah. Then the Torah has a dinim of mitzoiro. The Mishnah says, whenever you have a sofik in Hilchas Tzaras, look in the Chumash. Everything is so explicit. Look in the Chumash and you'll be able to figure everything out. Mishnais and the Goyim is not so complicated. It's pretty easy. Everything is just based on psukim. Everything is a pasuk. Yeah. Usually we have a din that the sofik tuma b'shus hayochid sveka tomei. And Sofik Tuma, we just learned it in the Gemara, and off Nun Heim Beis. Sofik Tuma B'shu Sarab, Sveika Tohor. So Sofik Tuma B'shu Sayochid is Sveika Tomei Vadai, even if it's a Sveika Lohokel, we still say that it's Tomei Vadai. So that klal clearly does not apply to Mitzurah. Yeah, they have rayas from Mishnayis that the klal doesn't apply to Mitzurah. Why not? So we really understand why. We can understand why. But every other Tomei is a Sofik when you have a Sofik Tuma. So what are the two Tzadari HaSofik? Is the person Tomei? Is the person Tohar? Over here by Sofik Mitzora, he doesn't become Tomei automatically. You have to get a coin to declare him as Tomei. Kozman the coin doesn't declare him. He's not Tomei. He becomes Tomei Mikana Lahabo. So that's not really called the Sofik Tuma. The two Tzadari HaSofik are not, is he Tomei, is he Tohar? The two Tzadari HaSofik are, is he Tohar, and there's a mitzvah to declare that he's Tomei, or is he Tohar, and there's no mitzvah to declare that he's Tomei. So it's only called the Sofik Tumei. If one of the Tzadim is Tomei, one of the Tzadim is Tohar. Here the both Tzadim are that he's Tohar. Just the Sofik, is he Tomei, is he Tohar with a mitzvah l'tamoso, or is he Tohar without a mitzvah l'tamoso? So that's not called Sofik Tumei. That we understand. There's a sefer on Taurus that's called Main Avtoch. The Rambam wrote a Hakdome in the Pirush HaMishnayos. The Rambam wrote a Hakdome to say the Taurus. Fantastic. So this sefer Main Avtoch was written by Talmud Chacham 150 years ago. So the text of the sefer on the top of the page is the Rambam's Hakdome to say the Taurus from the Pirush HaMishnayos, and on the bottom of the page he has two commentaries. Amano Ufarpar are the two commentaries by the same author. That's in Sefer Melachim. In Sefer Melachim, the story is told about Sar Tzva Melech Aram. I forgot his name. Who? He had Negat Saras, and he went to all the doctors. Nobody could cure him. And then there was a Jewish girl who was captured in war with the Jewish people. So she was working for a Goyish family. So she said, why doesn't Sar Tzva Melech Aram, why doesn't he go to the Navi, to Elisha and Navi, he'll cure him. So he traveled to Eretz Yisrael with a letter from the king, Melech Aram, that the Navi should please cure him. So Elisha and Navi told him he should be Tovel in the Yardain, and he'll become Tohar. So he said, what will I accomplish by Tovel? That's ridiculous. I already washed in all the clean rivers in Aram, Amanu Farpar, with the two cleanest rivers in Aram, and he didn't become cured. So they said, listen to the Navi, what do you have? You have everything to gain and nothing to lose. He was Tovel in the Yardain, and the Negat Saras disappeared. So Amanu Farpar are the two, that's what the author of this Sefer, on top of the page, he has the Rambam Sakdamet to say the Taurus and the Pirush HaMishnayos, on the bottom of the page, there's a lot of marmakaimis, one and a lot of explanations. So one is Amon and one is Parpar. So he explains this. He says, by Sofik Tuma of Mitzoira, it's clear from the Mishnah that you don't say Sofik Tuma Shusayachid versus Sofik Tuma Shusaram. So that's the explanation why. Because the two Tzadari HaSofik, it's only called the Sofik Tuma. If the two Tzadari HaSofik are, is it Tomei, is it Tohar? But here, the both Tzadari are, is it Tohar? Is it Torah with a mitzvah l'tamos, or is it Torah without a mitzvah l'tamos? He does become tamei automatically. That's not called a suffix tumah. Now there's a machlekes, two deis and taisus and machlekes, and rishonim balei taisus, and a machlekes. What about other tumas ria? Let's say zava, anida, azav. There's a tumas maga and there's a tumas ria. So the tumas ria is called a tum hayotza l'megufa, develops in his body. If you go to the A&P, pick up a piece of meat, that's a tumas maga. That's not something happened in your body. So by tumas maga, we apply the klal of sofik tum mishusa yochid versus sofik tum mishusa rabin. But by tumas ria, that's a machlekes in rishon. So some say that the reason why mitzora is not governed with the rules of sofik tum mishusa rabin, because mitzora is also tumah yotza ala migufa. And all tumah yotza ala migufa are not judged with the rules of mishusa yochid versus mishusa rabin. And others say, no, only by Mitzvah the rules don't apply, but by the other Tumayotza Megufa does apply. So that's Tesis. And the first Daf and Nida has that. In the first Perek and Chulin, they have that. That's in Bava Kama. Bava Kama, you have that on Daf Tes. Machlekes Tesis with the Sheet of Kubetzes. Yeah, that's a big Machlekes. When the person has a negat tzaras, so the Torah says he has to observe certain mitzvahs. So Rashi writes, "Al sofam ya'ate ki'ovel." The mitzvah has to observe certain dinim, like avelus. Who is he observing avelus on himself? We assume that negat saras is a punishment for an avera. That's how the Gemara says. Negat saras is a punishment for an avera that the person did. And atzaruas, compared atzaruas hukash lemeis, when Miriam became a tzaras, so Aaron HaKohen requested of his brother Moshe Rabbeinu, he should be mispala for Miriam. Don't allow our sister Miriam to be like a mace. You see that a mitzora is hukish lemeis. In respect to what? In respect to the din that he's metame ba'ohel. Just like a mace is metame ba'ohel, so the mitzora is also metame ba'ohel. But we don't call it ohel, we call it metame bibia. If he comes into a room. Why do we call it a different name? Because it doesn't have the same dinim. Because that's what the Minhas Chinah points out. By Tomei Meis, let's say there's a mace in a room and the door is open, so all the people are in the hallway, or if the door is open to another room, or the stairwell, the door to the staircase is open, so the Tumas Meis goes from one room to the other, to the other. By Mitzora, it doesn't go from one room to the other. So if the Mitzora wants to daven in shul, he should daven in the women's section, even though the Mechitza doesn't go to the ceiling. It's a different room. So the mitzvah will be there. When he's walking in the shul, he's in the same room as everybody else until he gets into the women's section. So the Mishnah says he's only mitami when he's stationary. When he's walking, if he's running, he's not mitami the other people. So it's also not the same as a mace. Not the same as a mace. So we call it by a slightly different name. So usually when someone dies, so the relatives who survive him observe avelus. And here we say that person observes avelus on himself. Asofam yata is atifas haroish. Atifas haroish, Rashi says, kemoi ovel. So the mitzora has to observe avelus on himself. We have such a din in the Gemara that if a person was put in cherem, why do they put person in cherem? Because of the gutta maisim tovim. Because he did some kind of an avera. The Rambam gives you the whole list in Hilchas Talmud Torah. He gives you the whole list of Al-Khofet al-Dvarim, Bezen Shalmata, Menadim Aleim. Bezen puts people in Cherem for one of 24 Averis, basically for being Vazet Talmid HaChamim or violating Dinim de Rabbanan. So that's why it's in Hilchas Talmud Torah. And the person has to observe Avelus on himself, because a Cherem is a curse. The Gemara said the word Cherem is the same letters as Ramach. The word Cherem is a curse that should seep into the Ramach Evarim, And if the person was put in cherem and then he dies 30 years later, we attribute the death to the curse of the bezin. We treat him like haruge bezin, and the children don't observe avelus. The Gemara, the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin that when they put someone to death, hardly ever happened. It's so far-fetched that someone's going to do avera with a hasra, terchi de dibur, so far-fetched. But once in a yoivo, once in 100 years or so, when they put somebody to death, so the din was that the relatives do not observe avelus, because the pasuk says, b'avod rishayim rina, when the rasha dies, you have to celebrate. So you're not supposed to observe avelus. So when the person is in cherem, he's considered like a gavra ktila. The bezin cursed him, he should drop dead. So that's considered in a certain sense like a gavra ktila. So he observes avelus on himself. So that's based on the pasuk here. The metzora observes avelus on himself. Then the Torah Mima has an interesting comment. He got to check to see if everybody agrees. He says, the Gemara raises a question, which laws of avelus carry over to the metzora and which laws of avelus carry over to a person as a cherem, and which dinim do not carry over. So Gemara asks the question, well, the kriya, metzora ma'o be kriya, does he have to kriya? Toshma, the pasuk says, God of you frumim. So what was the Gemara's question? It's a pasuk. It's a pasuk. They were asking a question, what's a din? What were they pushing? So the Torah Tamima has a suggestion. Usually when he has good ideas, it's not his own. Usually he's quoting from earlier sources. He didn't remember where he saw it. So over here he has a suggestion that when a relative dies, the surviving relatives have to rip kriya because of this person who died. Let's say they ripped kriya 10 years ago on a jacket and they still have the jacket in their closet. Then when this relative dies, they just put on the old jacket that they ripped kriya 10 years ago for someone else. So that's gozel asachayim v'esamesim, the Gemara says. He's fooling the public into believing that he ripped kriya, and he didn't. He didn't rip kriya. You're not yotze kriya if you didn't rip it for this relative. The Gemara says, let's say he thought that his brother died, then he rips kriya, then he found out that it wasn't his brother, it was his sister who died, or it was his parent who died. So if he finds out toch de dibur is good, but if he finds out lachek de dibur, then he wasn't yotze with the kriya. He ripped kriya shaloi kedin. So you see that you have to rip kriya to shame this relative. So here the pasuk doesn't say that the metzora has to rip kriya. It says, begod of you ferumim. His clothing should be torn. Sounds like he can wear clothing that was torn for some other occasion. Doesn't have to rip the kriya. That's what the suggestion that he gives. That's why the Gemara asks metzora ma'o bekriya toshma. He doesn't have to rip kriya. He should wear begodim that are crewing. Maybe that's the pshan. That's the suggestion. When a person has a negatzaras today, we don't go to the kohen, and we don't have anybody declare that he's a mitzvah. So even if he has a negatzaras, it's not mitame. Why is the common practice that we don't go to the kohen? It's one of the mitzvahs in the Torah. He's supposed to be horoh es hakohen, supposed to present the mitzvah to the kohen. So the achrayim say, you look on the mishnayos in the Goyim, I think that the Pharisees as well on the opening mishnah says the practice today is we don't go to a kohen because if we'll declare that he's Tomei, he won't be able to creep out of it. He won't be able to, if it gets healed medically, it gets all better, so he won't be able to become Tohar, because you have to, part of the process of becoming Tohar is bringing Karbonis. So if you don't have a Beis HaMikdash, you can't bring the Karbonis. So it doesn't pay to make him Tomei in the first place if you won't be able to make him Tohar. Is that a valid reason? That's questionable. Others say that just like you need a kohen, kohani chazoke are not permitted to be makar karbonos in the Beis HaMikdash. You need a kohen miyuchas. You need a kohen miyuchas, not just kohani chazoke. That his father used to do him, his grandfather used to do him. You have to have miyuchasim to know that nobody became a cholol in between. So some Achrayim want to say that you need a Kohen Miyuchas for Rias Negoim also. That's in the first song, the first page in Mishnayos Negoim. That's very questionable whether that's true. For many generations, they assumed, like the Svardish Achrayim in the 1500s, that Kohani Chazoke are Sofik Kohanim. Sofik Kohanim. They came up with wild ideas They said, let's say chalutzas, asur lekoyin is only by the rabbanim. So safik the rabbanim the kulas, and maybe bizman hazeh, since the kohanim are only safik kohanim, so maybe we should permit them to marry a chalutza. That's wild. We can't permit them to marry a chalutza, but it means, b'dievet, if they marry a chalutza, we would say, lo teitze. They wouldn't have to get divorced, because b'dievet, you're not allowed to enter l'chatchil into a case where you're going to rely on sveika the rabbanu l'kula. But if you already did, the koyin, kohani chazok, and marries a chalutza, maybe we should say, b'zman hazeh, he doesn't have to get divorced. So that whole psak that started from Svadu Shachranim from the 1500s, they assumed Kohani Chazoka, Sofik Kohanim, that's why they're not allowed to be Makar Karbonis. So that was all rejected when Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer was one of the big religious Zionists. He was a Talmud of Rabbi Kivegan, early middle of the 1800s. So Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer wrote a whole open letter to Baron Rothschild that he should put up money to build the Beis HaMikdash, we should bring the Karbonis and shine. You don't have to wait for Mashiach to come, we can solve all the problems without Mashiach. So he deals with some of the problems. He didn't really solve all the problems, he deals with some of the problems. And then one of the problems was, you don't have enough Kohanim Miyuchasim to run a Beis HaMikdash. In the beginning of the Beis Sheni period, Ezra insisted you have to have Kohanim Miyuchasim. Whoever was Bikshu Ksavim HaMasachsim Alom Matzau, those who were searching for their Ksav Yichas, the Yichas brief, and they couldn't find it, so they were Nigalu Min HaKuhuna, they were rejected from being Makar of Karbonis. So Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer suggested that it's not really that Kohani Chazoke are Safi Kohanim. No, they're Vadei Kohanim. That was a Chumra Midirabonim, that you need a Kohen Miyuchas. And it's self-understood, the Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer self-understood, that this Chumra Midirabbanon, which was instituted by Ezra, and never existed by Sirisham, we don't find it, was instituted by Ezra, the Chumra Midirabbanon only applies if there are enough Kohanim to be Makru Kabbanon, so I'm Yuchasim. But if we're going to be Machmer today, we hardly have any Kohanim Yuchasim in the whole wide world, we'll be Machmer for that. Then we simply, and he's planning on building a Beis HaMikdash, will simply won't be able to bring karbanas, then the whole chumrah doesn't apply. So Reb Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer wrote this letter to Baron Rothschild, and he sent a copy, it's called Rishas Tzion, I think. So he sent a copy of his sefer, that's the open letter to Baron Rothschild, so he sent a copy of the sefer to his Rebbe, Rebbe Kivager. Rebbe Kivager was masking with him. And then Rebbe Kivager sent it to his son-in-law, the Chassam Sefer, and he was also masking. The Chassam Sofer had three wives, one after the other, after the other. After the first wife died, he married the daughter of Rabbi Kivegah. After she died, he married a different woman. They tell a story that once Rabbi Kivegah came to visit the Chassam Sofer, he wasn't told that his daughter had passed away. They didn't want to tell him. Why? They have to aggravate him. He lived in a different city. So the Chassam Sofer lived in Hungary, and Rabbi Kivegah lived in Germany, in Austria. So they say that Rebbe Kivegah was such a holy tzaddik, he didn't look at any woman, and he kept on referring to the Chassam Sofer's wife as his daughter, whatever her first name was, and he didn't realize that it wasn't his daughter. His daughter had passed away, this was wife number three. They tell Baba Meisters, I don't know if it's true or not, but that's how one of the stories goes. Okay. So, today it's assumed like Rabbi Kivegah, like the Chassam Sofer, the Kohani Chazaka, Avadei Kohanim, and it's only a Chumra Midirabbanan, not to let Kohani Chazaka to the Makar Kabbanah. This was a wild idea that the Sfardish Gedolim had in the 1500s. I think the Marashdam has that, and a few other Sfardish Gedolim from Greece, they came up with this idea. That Kohani Chazaka Safik Kohanim. So if anything is only a Din Rabbanan, so Safik Rabbanan Mekul, there's room to be made. So Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer changed the trend in Psak Halacha from his time on. Rabbi Kivegah and Chassam Sofer both agreed with him that it's not a Chumra Midr, it's not a real Din Sveika Deraisa, it's a Chumra Midr Rabbanan. The Mishnah comments on the pasuk of Yom Heroz Bo Negat Saras Yesh Yom Shataroy Negoim Yesh Yom Shiataroy Negoim. What day do you not be roy Negoim? beregel ochosn kol shivis im mishnah. You don't want to aggravate him. Kozman, you don't paskin. Kozman, you don't see whether the negat saras is tummy or not. So he's tahor until the kohen paskins. When the kohen paskins tummy, so it becomes tummy mikanal haba. You don't say it's a gloy milsul mafreir. It was always tummy. It only becomes tummy mikanal haba. So the Mishnah says that the mashmos and the Mishnah is that normally, if it's not regal, it's not a yontif, and it's not chas and shivis me'amishta, then we assume that you're not allowed to postpone going to the kohen. You have to have riyas, and that's one of the taryag mitzvahs, one of the 248 mitzvahs, essay, that the mitzvah should go to the kohen to have a psak. And you're not allowed to postpone that. But if it's regel, or if it's chosin, shivis me'amishta, then you may postpone. So it would appear that whenever there's a mitzvah, you mukhiv to hustle and to do the mitzvah today. We don't do like that. Let's say a boy becomes bar mitzvah in the middle of the summer, so he has to run to hear Parsha Zohar right away. He'll hear Parsha Zohar next year, Shabbos Parsha Zohar. He'll hear at the end of Kiseitze, he'll hear at the end of Yisrael, he'll hear it. He doesn't run right away. Yeah, what about getting married, let's say? When a boy becomes bar mitzvah, he tells him the same day as bar mitzvah, he has to get married. So on the first page of Ebenezer, they raise that issue. The Beis Shmuel raises the issue. So he says, no, that's unreasonable. It's unreasonable to expect a boy 13 years old, he should get married and it should be a lasting marriage. He doesn't know yet what he's going to do for a living. He said, that doesn't make any sense. And a few Achrayim have the same idea. They say, the Gemara has a discussion. A person would like to learn, but he wants to get married. So should he postpone getting learning? Or should he postpone getting married? Or should he marry right away and postpone the learning to some later time? The Gemara says, how long v'halahu? It depends whether you live in Eretz, or it depends whether you live in Bavel. In one of the two countries, that's a Shaila Rashi and Tosfos, which way? In one of the two countries, the parents or the in-laws would support the married children. So if they're going to support, so get married now, and the parents are going to support, so you'll be able to go learn the yeshiva, and the parents will support you. But in the other country, where the practice was the parents did not support, then he wants to learn. So if he's going to get married at the younger age, it's going to ruin his whole program in life. So that's what a few Achrayim have. The Rashash has this, and some Sfardish Achrayim have the same. Svadish Achrayim, who wrote down Ebenezer, they talk about Tosfos Kasha. The Mishnah says that Pirkei Avos Mishmon Esrei L'chupa is supposed to get married at the age of 18. Then there's another Gemara. If a person reaches the age of 20, is that yet married? So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is very upset. Why didn't get married? So it's a stira. Is it 18 or is it 20? Which is it? So Tosfos says he should get married at 18. You don't marry the first girl that you bump into. You don't propose to the first girl. You tie one girl, another girl, another girl. If he started at 18, and some say you have to start when he starts the 18th year, beginning when he's 17, that's the beginning of the 18th year. So if he's dating and he's not married by 20, then tipach atzmoisa. Then they're angry min hashamayim, why he didn't get married. But you have 2 years, they give you 2 years to figure out whom you're going to marry. That's what some answer. So the Rashash and some Sfardish Achrayim give a different explanation. They say that the Mishnah says, Ben Chamish L'mikra, Ben Esa L'mishnah, Ben Chamesh Esrei L'talmud. So apparently the style used to be that they learned Tanakh, Mikra, from the age of 5 to the age of 10. Then from the age of 10 to the age of 15, they would learn all the Mishnahis. The child's mind, between the age of 10 and 15, he doesn't really understand Rav Chaim's. He doesn't understand Or Samech's. He's not going to understand Havana. You tell him the dinim, he'll absorb all the dinim, what the dinim are. But then from the age of 15, then the child's mind is mature enough to understand Talmud, the ins and outs of Talmud. So then the question is, how long does it take till you kind of a derech and learning? So that's a machlokes hatanayim in Chulin, in the first parak in Chulin. Does it take 3 years or does it take 5 years? What's this stira? Because it says the Levium would be apprentices for 5 years before they would do Avodah in the Mishkan. And the Pasuk in Daniel, Pasuk in Sefer Daniel says that when they were doing work, the Jewish young men in Bavel were doing work in politics for the Goyish government there. So they would apprentice for 3 years, and then they were ready. They already knew all there is to know about politics, and they would do the work for the government. So it's a steer it. Does it take 3 years? How long does it take to learn a graduate, to earn a graduate degree? So it depends in what? In what? In mathematics, there's a lot to learn. In medicine, there's a lot to learn. In law, there's a lot. Are there other disciplines there isn't so much to master? So the Gemara says apparently politics is easier than Melechus HaMishkan. So that's why for politics all you need is 3 years. Melechus HaMishkan, the Levim had an apprentice for 5 years. So the Gemara has a, so that's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara has a machlokes hatanaim, which is the normal amount and which is the yotze min haklal. Is it that 3 years is normal, but Melechus HaMishkan was unusually difficult, so that needed 5 years? Or the normal amount is 5 years, and politics is easier. So that's a machlokes hatanaim. So the Tanoim have an argument. Let's say a person is learning in the yeshiva for 3 years, and he's not roya simen bracha. So after 3 years, he should, if he's going to succeed, he should already be succeeding. So he should leave the yeshiva. He's wasting his time. But he's saying, no. Kol Zman wasn't there 5 years. He didn't yet have a chance to see. Is 5 years the normal amount, or is 3 years the normal amount? So that's what the Rashash and several other Sephardish Achronim would say the same shot. This stira that Tosis pointed out, one Gemara, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says you get married at 18, and the Gemara Kedushin sounds like you get married at 20. So Tosis gave the answer, you should try to get married at 18. Sometimes it takes 2-3 years till you get the right, till you meet the right girl. You don't marry the first girl that you bump into. So that's what Tosis answered. So these Achronim gave a different answer, that he starts learning Talmud at the age of 15. So how long does it take him to pick up a derech and learning? So if you hold 3 years as the ikar, so then he should get married at 18. And if it takes 5 years, then he shouldn't get married till after 20. So that's why they say that bizman hazeh, that the people don't really begin to start learning till they finish college. They're fooling around in high school and in Eretz Yisrael. They don't begin to learn seriously till after they finish college. So they have another couple of years after that. They don't have to get married, not at 18, not at 20. Yeah, getting married, learning and getting married is all part of your life's program, all part of your life's schedule. So you shouldn't rush into anything because it's just not going to work out. Yeah, so the Chazon Ish on the Goyim points this out. The Mishnah says, seems to say, there's some mitzvahs that we say you have to do it right away. Another mitzvah, they say, have plenty of time. So Rias Negoim, apparently this is a more important mitzvah. So if not for the fact that it's regular Chos and Shivas Meha Mishnah, we would recommend he should go right away to the Koyim to do the Rias Negoim. Shouldn't postpone. So that's the question, what about the period of Erivya? We had on Daf Yud Gimel, we learned the Machlekes, Beshamim Misil, Misha Chetzi Eve Bechetzi Ben Chorin. So Beisham, I held Kof in Esra Bevosa Osa Ben Chorin, because Lisa Shivcha and Yochel Lisa Baschorin and Yochel Alo the Nibra Oil Mala the Piri Rivu Shenemar Oto Barol the Shevis Yitzora. So Tosis asks, we learned the Tosis in the first page of Yud Gimel. Why do I have to quote a pasuk from Navi? Oto Barol the Shevis Yitzora. I should have quoted a pasuk Piri Rivu. So Tosis answers, the Poshet answer, no. Oto Barol the Shevis Yitzora shows that it's a mitzvah rabbah. It's a mitzvah rabbah. So therefore you can say Chatei Bishul Shiyizke Havercha. He's Meshacha the Yevet. We recommend you should be Meshach the Eved because it's such a mitzvah rabba. So then, if so, Piri Rivi is a mitzvah rabba, then it's not really right. You can't be Mekayim Piri Rivi before you get married. We're not going to recommend everyone should go to a Pnuya and have babies. That doesn't make any sense. But the question is, he already met the right girl, he wants to marry her. Is there anything wrong with practicing birth control, or do you have to try to have children right away? So according to that Chazon Ish that he pointed out on the Mishnayos and the Goyim, that by a mitzvah rabba, by an important mitzvah, he's supposed to do it at the first available opportunity right away. Shouldn't postpone. So then maybe Pirei Rebbe is also a mitzvah rabbah, then you should postpone. The Tur has a commentary on Chumash. We're so used to the Baal HaTur on Chumash and Mikros Gedolos. He has the Gematrios and Rosh HaTevis. But then in addition to all of that, he has a Pirush HaTur, the Tur HaOruch on Chumash. So every so often he quotes from the Rosh, from his father. So he quotes one of the more famous comments from the Rosh is on this week's Sedra, his Giras HaNega. What does it mean? So we usually assume there's a Mitzor Muzgar and Mitzor Muchlot. Mitzor Muzgar, we usually assume you lock him up in a building. So the Rosh says, no, it says, Hizgir Sanega. He put a band-aid around him. Hizgir Sanega doesn't mean you lock up the Mitzor. That's a Chiddush. You lock up the Nega. He put a bandage around the Nega. This Shabbos is Parshas HaChodesh. The Mishnah says in the beginning of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, that Rosh Hashanah l'malchei umas ha'olam is zechad b'tishrei, and Rosh Hashanah l'malchei Yisrael is zechad b'nissan. What does that mean? That the practice, that Mishnah explained, Mark's mind, the practice used to be that we'd write how many years it is since the melech was appointed the king. So you don't have to remember each king when he was coronated, and a year later is the second year, a year later is the third year, and so on. There's a cutoff date. So let's say it's a melech from the malchei umas ha'olam. He was appointed sometime in Chodesh Elul, the summertime. When it comes Echad B'Tishrei, when it comes Rosh Hashanah, he already counted Shana Shnei LeMelech Ploini. But if it's the Jewish king, then you don't. The cutoff point is not Echad B'Tishrei. The cutoff point is Echad B'Nissan. Yeah, why is that so? So the Ran on the Rif writes, he thinks that this is not just Mekubal, not just that this was the Minig. In the days of the time, he thinks that it's a real din, HaChodesh HaZeh Lochem, that Jewish history should be calculated starting from Rosh Chodesh Nissan. Chodesh Nissan is the Chodesh HaGu'ula, and that's why Chodesh HaZeh Lochem, Rosh Chodoshim. So the Netziv explains in his commentary on Chumash, and that pasuk, Chodesh HaZeh Lochem, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world in Shesh Yismei Bereishis, he instituted rules and regulations of chemistry, physics, biology, astronomy, mathematics, basically. Astronomy is all mathematics and physics. And he introduced principles of history. That's part of Teva Ha'olam. And if a person understands the rules and the regulations of history well, and if he can size up the situation well, he can predict what's going to happen in the future. Because everything goes, Goyish history goes according to the rules and regulations. Masheni Ken, Jewish history, that's the Gemara's Kalal, Ein Mazel Yisrael. Jewish history is not Tachashlita Sakachovim Ba'amazolos. There's no way to predict in advance what's going to happen because it's Lamala Menateva. So that's exactly what it means, that Goyish history is part of the Bria and Sheshes Mei Bereishis. The world was created by Tishrei Nivra Ha'olam. So when it comes Echad B'Tishrei, that's the beginning of the new year for Malchei Umas Ha'olam. Because all of world history is governed with the rules and regulations of history that were instituted at the time of Bria Sa'ilam. So Echad B'Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah for Goyisha history. The Malchei Umas Sa'ilam means Goyisha history. And Jewish history is B'Nissan Nigalu B'Nissan Asidim Nigod. That's the month of Nisim. And everything by Jewish history is L'mayla Menateva. The Ramban Chumash writes that a few times, that whoever doesn't believe that Ein Mazel Yisrael, Ein Mazel Yisrael is a whole sugya in the end of Masech Shabbos, a whole blat gemara, but it means that Jewish history is l'mayla menateva. It's not subject to the rules and regulations of history that were introduced in Shesh Yismei Bereishis. There was a politician after the First World War. There was an American politician who understood history well, and he published a whole essay, and he predicted that the Japanese would attack the Americans on a Sunday morning in December, and he said, which year? He calculated why Sunday morning in December, because the American soldiers stay up late, Mitzvah Shabbos, they hulya, by Malava Malka, they get drunk, and they sleep late on Sunday morning, and the Japanese always like to do a surprise attack. And the nights are the longest in December in Japan over there. So that's what happened. That's when they attacked. on a Sunday morning in December, and he predicted how many years it's going to take till they're going to be angry at America, until they're going to rebel, until they're going to start a war. And he was right. That's what we assume. All of Goyish history follows the rules and the regulations that were set up in Sheshes Mebreshes, together with the rules and the regulations of chemistry, physics, biology, and mathematics, and so on. And Jewish history, you can't predict in advance. When Rav Soloveitchik would talk about that, Ramban HaChumash, Ramban said, this is an Iker Amuna, Ein Mazal Yisur, that Jewish history is the Malam in Ateva. So Rav Soloveitchik would say, if you were to draw a chart of any Goyish history, so it goes up and goes down, a rise and fall of every country. Each country has a rise and a fall, and then they disappear. The Romans disappeared, the Greeks disappeared, the Egyptians disappeared. Every nation has a rise and a fall, then they disappear. And the Jewish people never disappear. It's famous from Mark Twain. Jewish people never disappear. And it's a zigzag. It goes up, it goes down, it goes up. When the Jewish people are observing the mitzvahs, then there's schar. When the Jewish people do averus, then there's oynish. But it is no rise and fall. It goes up and down. And that's what one of the interpretations that's given by the Medrash on the Chaloim of Yaakov Avinu when he ran away from Esav, and he had Malachim Olam, there was a Sulam Motzavarts of Rosh Magia Shamaima, and he saw Malachim Olam Yerdim Boy, so the Medrash has many different interpretations of what this Chaloim is supposed to represent. So one of the interpretations is the Malachim Asara Shal Kol Umma V'loshen. Every nation has a Malach who guides it. So Malachim Olam Yerdim means the rise and fall of every nation. And then the Medrash says, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells the Yaakov Avinu, okay, now it's your turn. I want you to climb up on the ladder. So Yaakov Avinu said, I don't want to climb up on the ladder. Climb up, I'm going to go down. I don't want to have a rise and a fall. So the Baruch Shalom says, but I'm holding your hand. Don't worry. The Jews don't have a rise and a fall. The Jews have zigzag. It goes up and down, up and down. When we do mitzvahs, it goes up. And when we are there, it goes down. Okay. Everyone is welcome to come for Shabbos to Passaic. I'm going to be speaking in a few different shuls, all about Shemitah. Each talk is going to be around 15, 20 minutes or so. So in the course of the Shabbos, I will probably cover all the topics you have to know about. Okay.